Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And Angie is here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. My son needed a major yard cleanup at his new home. We went straight to the Angie website and found a bunch of local, reliable, and affordable pros to handle the job, and one did pronto. Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and in your area. Get started at Angie.com. That's ANGI.com, or download the app today. The app and website are free to use. Ladies, hello, gentlemen. This is the Victor Davis Hanson Show. I am Jack Fowler. I'm the host. You are here to listen to the star and the namesake and all the wisdom that he shares. That is Victor Davis Hanson. He is the Martin and Ely Anderson Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution and the Wayne and Marsha Buskey Distinguished Fellow in History at Hillsdale College. Hopefully, Victor, at the end of the show, we'll have time to talk about Hillsdale. But before that, and by the way, we're recording on Friday, the 12th of January, and some news broke this afternoon about Hunter Biden and the looming contempt charges against him and his desire to nuke that. And what else do we have? News coming out about a Senate, Republican senators trying to work out some immigration deal that is just like out of the textbook of whoever hates Republicans and their sellouts and rhinos. Let me tell you, this is made specially for you. So we'll talk about Hunter. We'll talk about immigration. And if we have time, talk about Hillsdale. And we'll get to all of this right after these important messages.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show. So, Victor, a few things about Hunter. I know you were on with Megyn Kelly the other day. I don't know if you talked with her, but I just saw a headline about her from the Daily Mail. It's a middle finger to Congress. Megyn Kelly slams Hunter Biden for sauntering into committee hearings as lawmakers discuss holding him in contempt for refusing to appear under a subpoena. Then, Victor, there's another headline just out today, Friday the 12th. Hunter Biden lawyers say they will, quote, comply for a hearing or deposition, end quote, if House panels issue new subpoenas. So, Victor, it looks like the House is going to vote on a motion to hold Hunter Biden in contempt.
After his stunt the other day, he showed up at the hearing, as we all know. Now he seems to be, I don't even know what he's doing. He's a freaking, he's unto himself. Victor, what are your thoughts about all this Hunter Biden-ness of these last couple of days and hours?
Well, I think he was subpoenaed, and we know that is a basic rule. Democrats ignore subpoenas. Eric Holder was subpoenaed and he was held in contempt. They don't care. And they always say it would be outrageous, da 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 da, if you ever prosecute him. And we know that during the Trump era, they subpoenaed the Trump boys, I think Ivanka too. And they all went in, they all testified, they all did it under oath. I think that even Don on the Alpha Bank thing. And Steve Bannon said no. And they tried him, they convicted him, and they sentenced him to 4 years in prison. And excuse me, 4 months in prison. And I think he's appealing it. So here comes Hunter, and there's a precedent that if you're, I guess, a Democrat, you don't have to do this. And then all of a sudden the rules change that you're not going to face exposure. So they were holding him in contempt and he wouldn't show up. So then he comes up this idea, Jack, that he, Hunter, can adjudicate when the House committee that's subpoenaed him, when they can meet, what their agenda will be. Hey, just like the doctor, it's like the doctor giving you appointments and you just blow him off. And then one day, right in the middle of the day without warning, you just walk into his office and the waiting room's full. They're doing so. You say, I'm here. What is this about? I didn't come to my appointment. I'm here. I want to be viewed and interviewed and examined right now. And that's what he did. But he didn't do just that because he came with Abby Lau or whoever that guy is, Lowell, the attorney, and he came with his sugar bro or whatever they call him, the guy that's giving him all the money. And he had a film crew. It was an entourage. And he swept in and he thought he was going to really show the world that I'm Hunter Biden and I am here now. And look, everybody, they don't want to interview me. There's no context, of course, and he wants to do it publicly so he can play the wounded fawn. He doesn't want to go under oath in private. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene came up and he just split. And then when he was walking at some point in this mess, Jack, did you see the Fox reporter, that young woman that walked up to him and said, why did your father call you when you had these clients arranged when you said, he said, well, you know, this isn't, and Hunter, have you ever had a father? Right. Has he ever called you? And right, I mean, he's, yeah. I thought when I watched that, I thought, wow, you just admitted that your father called you during a meeting that was referenced before, which your father, the President of the United States, has flatly denied ever happened. So you just confirmed what your dad said.
Isn't he a father who denied his own child, by the way? If he's going to go to the father defense.
Biden has been telling everybody that he never called.
Right.
To give Hunter filial fides, I guess, to say, hey, look, this guy's not a fake. I'm really the vice president and I'm calling right now. And they put him on speaker, obviously. And then they asked Joe, no, I never did that, even though Devin Archer said, and now Hunter has confirmed that he did. So what is he doing? And we've talked about this before. I think it's Hunter. I think we call it, Jack, Hunter and the Doomsday Bomb, or maybe Hunter and his Doomsday Bomb.
It's kind of interesting.
He thinks he's going to blow up the world if they screw with him. Yeah. I think he thinks he's Samson and he's got a pillar under each arm and he's going to pull down the Biden consortium if they don't treat him with respect. Now, why would I say that? And I said it about 6 months ago. Go onto the laptop, see all the references to, at least I don't charge 0.5%, that he's writing to his sister and his niece. And he says that Joe Biden gets his utilities paid by Hunter. And he calls him the big guy who, at least I don't take 50%. And then he mentions 10%. But what I'm getting at is the flavor is anger. And the anger is something like this. I'm the dirty bag man. I'm the cokehead. I'm the guy who sleeps with my fallen brother's, dead brother's widow. I'm a creepy guy. I'm the guy that takes a picture of his phallus. And you all hate me, and I bring disrepute to you. But you like the money, and I bring in the money. I'm the guy that puts his nose down in the muck and picks up a coin with his teeth, and you are too good to do that. And so what I'm getting at is that now he's facing criminal exposure, and he's sending signals. I mean, if you were Hunter Biden with his record of drug use, wouldn't you make sure anybody with the name Biden wouldn't have an ounce of coke anywhere near the West Wing? Why wouldn't you? Would you say to everybody, look, don't come into the West Wing because they're going to blame me if you bring drugs in. They find coke. And if you think you were Hunter Biden and you were under all of the scrutiny, wouldn't you just keep your genitalia in your pants and not have sexual intercourse unprotected with a stripper and get her pregnant? And once you did get her pregnant, don't you think with all the money you've absconded from overseas sources, you wouldn't get into a nasty, terrible paternity suit, child support that makes you look bad, but more importantly, puts Joe Biden in the situation of basically ghosting his own granddaughter, which he did. And if you were Hunter Biden, and there was all this scrutiny of all the ways you've used your father's name, why would you start painting? And then you would say, I'm going to sell this to my friend in his gallery, but we're going to make a firewall, paywall. I won't know anybody who buys these. But just to tweak you guys, you keep thinking I'm a cokehead, I'm going to blow air on the canvas. How do you like that? That's how I'm going to paint. I'm going to get a straw, just like a person puts in his nose, and I'm going to blow. You like that? And oh, by the way, my associate the other day said there was no paywall. And I've known the names of the people who bought my crappy art for 20,000 times more than it's worth. And they've had some entree into the White House. Oh, and by the way, I'm not going to go to jail. So I've got the DOJ giving me a sweetheart deal. And if they want to renege on it, and I'm going to ask my father to testify. Yes, I am. I'm going to get the president of the United States, and I'm going to put him on the stand where he'll either have to lie to support his own son, or he'll tell the truth and I'll go to prison. But that's what I'm going to do. And so when he's, you know, whether he's walking in and he confirms an embarrassing phone call, or whether it's the drugs, or whether it's the paternity suit, or whether it's the art, he is deliberately, or he can't help it, creating more and more exposure. And that sends a signal to Frank Biden, who gets a check from him, from Ashley Biden, from Jill Biden to Joe Biden. Don't screw with me. At any given time, I can go nuts. I can go, you know, DEFCON 5 if I have to, and that'll take everybody down. So I want some exemptions. I do not want to go to prison. And Dad, you know, he's basically telling his dad, you have more tax exposure than I do. So I think it's a very volatile thing. And the fact that he's going to be in court this summer, right during the campaign, you don't know what that guy's going to say. You have no idea what he's going to say. But you do know that he's very angry at his family because he doesn't think that it's his fault that he loses his unlawfully registered gun, or he leaves his crack pipe in a rental car, or his computer in a computer place with nude photographs of him, or you name it. And now he's supposed to be reformed and not on drugs, but he's just as wild and indiscreet as he ever was.
Yeah.
Gosh, walking into the chambers with all these creepy people to make a performance art stunt, and then walking through a corridor and just telling a reporter like he owns her. You ever had a dad? Well, that's why. Basically, the subtext of that little quip was, my dad's a blank, blank liar. He called me, and I'm confirming it right now. And so it's very strange what he's doing.
Yeah. He's a composite of a few movie characters. Some point, Victor, we got to talk about this offline, maybe a comment. There's definitely Fredo in there, but there's a couple other aspects of yeah, some notorious movie types. But he really is a unique being. And I have to think his old man, even if he's for the few minutes he's cognizant during the day, must have thought the stunt on Capitol Hill the other day was not a good thing for Joe Biden.
No, they thought it was very funny how the media treated that. They thought that it was great. Remember, he owned the Republicans. He owned them. He came in there and he was just saying, "Here I am, braggadocio," and they just backed down. No, if you think about it, he brought disrepute to a congressional chamber, and he knows, and they know, and his media sycophants know that a congressional committee does not bow to the whims of a witness who just drops in like, "Hi, guys, I'm ready to testify." Try that with a January 6th committee and see what would have happened.
Oh,
Hunter.
My gosh.
Yeah, you're subpoenaed and you say F you and you're Steve Bannon and you're not going to appear. And then one day you get a big, huge crowd and you just drop in and say, "Here I am. I'm going to testify." What do you think that Liz Cheney would have done?
Gosh, run for president. Hey, Victor, speaking of saying things in court, and I'm wondering what you, well, let me read something. Let's go to a break. We have a important message, but then when we come back, maybe any reaction you might have to Donald Trump's outburst, call it an outburst, in court the other day. We'll get your thoughts on that right after these important messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor, if you talked about this with Sammy, and I know our listeners don't necessarily know, but you've recorded a podcast that's up today on the 12th with Sammy. Did you touch at all on Trump's court appearance in New York the other day?
No, we didn't. We did not.
Any thoughts about what Donald Trump said, or frankly, because everything, I think what matters is, does it help him? Or does it hurt him in the ultimate quest for re-election? What Donald Trump said in court the other day, was it helpful or harmful?
I think at this point, it's a wash. I think at first, there were sober, judicious lawyers who said, you know what, don't compound your problems. Go in there, be deferential. And he did. And now he's saying, you know what, they're going to do it anyway. And I'm going to use this platform to tell people what they're really like. Because what are they doing? They have a multi-front strategy. So we learned that Fannie Willis, who was supposed to be the most, the greatest exposure of the four prosecutors, that was the phone call. That was election denialism and interference. Well, now she's the most exposed herself to legal repercussions. And I went through it with Sammy that, you know, you don't just hire a guy who's an ambulance chaser and never tried a single criminal case and then make him the highest paid public jurist lawyer in Georgia that year. And then one day later, he files for divorce. Suddenly, magically, the divorce things are sealed, and then he's on these junkets when they said, "We got to press for time. We need to go forward," when they're just junketing the Caribbean, Napa,
yeah,
on the public dime. And then we were told there were iron, there's firewalls between the political dimension of this and the disinterested prosecutors. Now we learned that her boyfriend charged. He went to the White House and he charged the legal counsel money to be prepped. And then some of his charges are 24 hours in a day. Do you really believe he stayed up for 24 hours in a single day? So he's really in trouble, and I think she is. And then she's been consulting with Benny Thompson on the January 6th committee. So you get the press, you get the idea that it's some kind of Pagerithian triangle.
Right.
There's Fannie Willis in Georgia, and there's the White House counsel, and then there was the January 6th on each of these points.
Right.
These apexes, and they're all coordinating.
Right. And with some blue pills and lubricants.
Whatever it is. So I don't blame him for it. Now he's just going to. And that judge is that Gore. I can't remember. I want to say Gorgon, but it's not. You know, the guy that's really poses.
I don't remember. Sorry. But
yeah. And he's something is very wrong with that. Judge, the way he looks and acts. I don't know what it is, but he's a hardcore left. They're all hardcore. It's weird. All the prosecutors, Letitia James, Alvin Bragg, Jack Smith, and Fannie Willis are all hardcore leftists. And two of them have bragged about that they were going to run their campaigns on the, you know, to get elected, you know. They were going to run their campaigns that they were going to get Trump. And they're all going to have, so far, all the judges are liberal and the jury pools right. will be liberal. But so I think he has to attack the whole system. I think he may be right. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have, you know, obstruction of justice charges and all of that stuff by personal invective against people. But these people have no shred of credibility. They are corrupt. We've got Jack Smith trying to get a gag order, trying to accelerate the case so he can synchronize it with the other indictments and get them all, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Trump is visibly driving into New York or Washington. Everybody knows when he's going to come. He's got to get out. He can't campaign. He's racking up millions of dollars or the stress. And now Fannie Willis for a crime that, I mean, Letitia James for a crime that has never been charged against anybody. Overvaluing the assets in a real estate deal for which the bank gave the loan to Trump, made the interest in the principal. The bank was profited from the transaction. The bank had no problem with it. She butts her head in and says, this was wrong. And now she's up to $300 million plus that they're going to try to get out of him.
Yeah.
And so it's just beyond the pale. It's just crazy. And the more they do that, you know what that reminds me of, Jack? It's like a whirlpool. And they know that they got to swim away from it, the Trump derangement fix, but they're addicts. They're like moss to a fly,
right.
a flame.
Right.
They can't stop. So they're getting in this whirlpool and they're going down because they're so transparently political and unfair. All of them. And we've got, as I said, we've had Letitia James and Bragg bragging that they were going to be elected to get Trump. So did Willis. Willis has improperly talked to the January 6th. Her counsel, boyfriend, whatever we call him, lover, has been improperly prepped by the White House counsel, according to his billing records.
Right.
And she has profited from this exorbitant fee that she gave this married guy. And then they probably use pressure to seal the divorce record, because I'm sure there was information by the ex-wife about Fannie Willis and this liaison.
Right.
And it just goes on. And then we've got, you know, Jack Smith, who has just lost at the Supreme Court trying to accelerate the pace of the investigation. He's got the gag order. And I guess the guy's name was Engoron. And Engoron, I think that was his name that came to me. That's the judge. The Letitia James, and he's a partisan. So I think everybody looks at this and said, this isn't the country that I know. It doesn't right. even resemble the United States. It's something now the Soviet Union or Venezuela. Yeah. And then when you juxtapose this to taking them off the ballot in Colorado and Maine, and it's the January, what's happening to the January 6th? They're going to try people that were just out on the grounds now. They ran out of sensationalized suspects. So they're going, anybody who just happened to be walking around the Capitol, they're going to look at.
Yeah. Meanwhile, and that poor guy who tweeted something, some joke thing about Hillary Clinton, he's in prison. Like what the F's going on here?
I don't know. I don't know. It's not a country that I recognize.
Yes.
And they, and the left seems to be, the more that they do it, the more that they keep talking about democracy's in danger. You have, you know, you mentioned Chris Matthews, I think. Chris Matthews is saying that, you know, if you don't, you, the rubes, these country folk, these rural people, they're going to vote. And they're going to vote for Trump. And this is not right. You got to get, stop it. And
rural cult of craziness.
They're unhinged. They really are. They do not believe, they've never, the left's never believed in constitutional government, and because it doesn't give the desired fair result. But I, again, I think it's like a whirlpool, but they're going to bring people down. They're drawing in all sorts of issues to this. They're bringing in DEI. They're bringing in the migrants. They're, and the whole thing, they just double down. So they can't look at the border and say, everybody does not want this. So now they're kicking kids out of their schools in Brooklyn and other places to put illegal aliens in. And now the Mexican president Obrador is telling us that he wants $20 billion amnesty for 10 million of my people in your country. Normalized relationship with Venezuela and Cuba, my communist brothers. This is what we're at. And you want to say, is there one man in America who will say, screw you and your whole damn country. We're not going to play that game. You are destroying the United States by letting 8 million people come here and taking advantage of this veneer of a president. But I, it's like we treat Mexico like we do the Houthis. We just say, okay, you want to get rid of all the people on your entitlement industry? Send them in. You want to get people... Central America, Latin America that come to Mexico, just wave them on in. We want them. That's fine. We don't care. The only time we ever look for vaccinations is our own military. We don't care about foreign nationals. You know, and the only time we ever put people in jail for years is people that are U.S. citizens that were worried about the election and protested. But people coming across the border with drugs or child smuggling, we don't care. That's just weird. We've never seen anything like this in this country.
Well, let's get a little more disappointing on that, Victor, with a talk about a Senate Republicans working out some immigration deal. And we'll get to your thoughts on that right after these important messages.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show again. We're recording on Friday the 12th, and I believe this episode will be up on the Tuesday the 16th. And Victor, first, I want to ask our listeners if they've ditched, have they ditched their New Year's resolutions already? Well, if so, it's okay, because resolving to eat healthier is easy, but actually doing it, it's not so easy. And that's why I use Field of Greens. It makes getting your recommended daily dose of vegetables and fruit easy. Each superfruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor selected for a specific health benefit. Some support your heart, lungs, and kidneys, and others support metabolism for healthy energy and weight loss. I'm giving you 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code VICTOR, V-I-C-T-O-R. That's the promo code VICTOR at fieldofgreens.com, fieldofgreens.com. Let me say that again. And P.S., while you're there, check out the other sub-products like Lean, which is a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement. So don't just resolve to get healthy this year. Do it. Get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping when you visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code VICTOR, promo code VICTOR at fieldofgreens.com. And we thank Field of Greens for sponsoring the Victor Davis Hanson Show. So, Victor, today a headline from Breitbart. This is an article by Neil Monroe. Headline, Senate GOP border deal leaked. Migrants to get work permits, lawyers, green cards. And the first paragraph of the story, the Senate GOP leadership's draft border deal with the White House would reward illegal migration and encourage more foreign graduates to take jobs from American graduates, says the Immigration Accountability Project. Quote, there's nothing in there that restricts immigration. In fact, it's just going to encourage more people to come, end quote, said Chris Chmielewski, president of Immigration Accountability Project. You know, Victor, are you surprised? I mean, I got to admit, I'm a little surprised. Could the Senate leadership, Mitch McConnell and company, be this much out of tune with how America is feeling about immigration?
I don't know what the idea is.
Call it immigration. It's an invasion. As you mentioned before, these schools in Brooklyn, New York, 2,000 kids had to be kicked out of their school to go to and do remote learning so the school building could be used to put illegals in. This is,
I don't understand what they're trying to do. I don't know whether they're afraid of getting tagged by stopping the appropriations for Ukraine. They don't want to hold that over to get some leverage on the border. I don't know whether they have the corporate Wall Street Chamber of Commerce right that wants the labor. I don't know why they can't just say to the left, we're not going to do anything on Ukraine until you shut the border. But where the tricky thing is, see, the left, what they do is they will say to the congressional Republicans, okay, you can secure the border. And then they'll go back into their little room and say, we already got 8 million of them. We've got enough that even our blue mayors and cities can't handle them. This was an abundance of good luck. So we've got 8 million people. That'll take years to assimilate. We'll get them voting. We'll get them entitlements. We'll just take a little breather. So then we'll go back and say, yeah, okay, we can't have any more illegal aliens, but you've got to give them amnesty. 10 million. We want amnesty so they can work. And so then the Republicans go, okay. And then you know what's going to happen. In 2 or 3 more years, they're going to open the border again. They never keep their word. They never are consistently serious about compromise. Their words, comprehensive immigration reform, just means one thing. We get more judges and more arbitrators and more open borders to bring more people in orderly. So instead of having 8 million coming across and sleeping in Chicago and getting in schools, they want about 20 million, but they all want it legal and orderly. That's reform, as they call it. And the Republicans, I don't know if they get that. Mitch McConnell, the Mitch McConnell, Mitt Romney wing of the Republican Party has always, Wall Street Journal chain, has always wanted open borders. They always have. I keep, Robert Bartlett had that. He debated me on a cruise, Jack. And Robert, remember the late, he was a really good guy, the editor of the—
Oh, Bob Bartley?
Bartley, excuse me.
Yeah, from the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, and he just said he wanted open borders. And I debated once the late Milton Friedman at a restaurant in Francisco, and he just said, he wanted them. And the wages would adjudicate when he said, if there are too many come over, the minimum, if we get rid of the minimum wage, the labor will be a dollar an hour and it won't be so good, will it, Victor? So it'll self-regulate. And I said, yeah, but you won't be in the way of the throng. Come on. Well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so these people, I think they really do want to destroy the country as they saw, as they see it. They don't like it. They think they wanted to go back and get the real spirit that nobody'd ever, that this was really a neo-socialist quality of result, woke, DEI country. We just didn't know it because of these crazy obstacles. And now we can get rid of them and progress. And that's what they want to do.
And well, Victor,
it's very racist too. This is another thing that I think people are starting to be a little bit more confident calling this DEI stuff racist. The whole subtext of the illegal immigration is, believe me, if you had right now tankers crashing into the California coast and on letting out thousands of illegal Hungarians and Romanians and Czechs and South Africans, they would say, oh my God, these people have to be sent back. But they don't want people. They don't want people from that are prosperous. They don't want people who are European. They don't want, all they want are people that they consider are DEI prospects. And that's and it's very racist what they're doing. And then when you object about that, they say, oh, you believe in the Great Replacement Theory. No. You're the one that writes demography is destiny books, not us. You write the new Democratic majority. You brag about it all the time.
Well, Victor, you wrote a piece for your website, which I should maybe make a little pitch for right now. Victor has an official website, The Blade of Perseus, at victorhanson.com. Links to everything he writes for American Greatness, syndicated columns, his books, including his forthcoming book, that's The End of Everything. That'll be out in May. You write ultra articles that you can read, folks, if you subscribe. It's $5 per month, discounted for a full year for $50. And one of the current ultra series you're writing, Victor, is titled The DEI Ruse is Imploding. So you just raised DEI, but it's imploding. And I have a feeling it's more academic, but tell us about this series and why you think it's imploding.
Well, I'm trying to look at all the things DEI has done and what created it and how it spread. It was always there. It's a cultural Marxist paradigm, as everybody points out, that of dividing the country between oppressed and oppressors, and then the oppressed or the large group of underprivileged and the white privileged people, and you are the oppressors, whether you are or not. And that means basically, Jack, if you're Arab American, are you Greek American, are you Eastern European, you're Egyptian, you're Armenian, it doesn't matter. If you check white, it doesn't matter how you look, but if you're considered white, you're part of a monolithic solidarity that oppresses people. So you can be a blonde. I just was in the food market today. I saw a lot of people speaking Spanish, and they had dyed blonde hair and blue eyes, and they were whiter than I am, but they are Latinos. And then I've seen some of my Armenian friends who are considered white, and they look like darker than Mexican people. So the whole thing is ridiculous. But nonetheless, there's now the added privilege slur. So certain people have privilege, and then the other people don't have it. So then the government has to give things, admissions, hiring, tenure, promotions to the oppressed. And notice it has nothing to do with class. Claudine Gay, who came from one of the richest families in Haiti that had a cement monopoly, went to Phillips, Exeter, Princeton. She is oppressed. And the guys in East Palestine that probably make $10,000 a year that Joe Biden never even visited, that were chemically bombed basically by an exploding rail tanker, they are privileged. And I don't think that works anymore. I really don't. So when you see Michelle Obama in that interview say that capitalism doesn't even trickle down? No, it doesn't, Michelle, because you make $12,000 a minute when you speak overseas, and you have four mansions, and you don't invite people to come in, the homeless. Why don't you take the Martha's Vineyard big estate and put some tents, like he has some beautiful tents. Remember Barack Obama's party, Jack, during the COVID, where everybody got COVID? He insisted on having it, and he had those beautiful big tents. Why didn't he just leave them up? And he could welcome in about 1,000 people that could use that, but that never is that, it never works that way. And so what I'm getting at is that I don't think any more people believe that it's a viable thing, because it ignores class. It lumps people who are widely diverse with different religions, ethnic backgrounds, as so-called white. You think I have anything in common with the Google founders or Lisa Jobs or Jeff Bezos? I don't. Is it because I have white skin I'm supposed to identify with them? I don't. And I think most people feel that way. So I think it doesn't work anymore. And all these DEI people are being pulled in to a downward whirlpool. It's partly the failure of the Biden administration that they anchored their stars to, and that's bringing them down. The whole Claudine Gay and those Liz McGill and those college presidents, what's going on with the Palestinians, defacing cemeteries, shutting down bridges, disrupting the legislature here in California.
Yeah, Victor, we've mentioned before, you were on the Battlefield Commission, American, and I think you probably have a heightened love interest to our final resting places, cemeteries for our veterans. And the desecration of this is just, I mean, it's a really bad thing. It happened out in L.A. What's transpired? Anything that you know of?
Nothing. They're exempt. And we know they're exempt because I think it was President Cordbluth, her name is, at MIT, when she said, when she was asked about Jewish students being physically assaulted and scared to go places at MIT, she goes, well, we'll just tell them that there are some safe places. And then she said, but, you know, she was asked, why didn't she suspend the Palestinians? Well, they might have visa problems. That's the point. They should have visa problems. And so what I'm getting at is that I'll put it in stark terms. When you turn on your TV or you look at an internet video or you go to work, what people are tired of is having some upper middle class person who claims that she or he are not white lecturing so-called white people as if they all have something in common, how bad they are and how noble this person is and people who he thinks look like them are, and that merit and promptness and hard work and all these things don't matter because of innate privilege. Nobody believes it anymore. And they're getting very, very angry because they're starting to see that racialism is destroying the fabric of society. The airline industry is drawn into question. Did you see the army today, Jack? I don't know if you saw that. The military.
No, what happened?
Well, the military recruitment said, first of all, as you talk, and I mentioned it with Sammy, they had their investigation for 2 years, and they found there was no white cabal of white terrorists, as they had alleged. Admiral Gilad, and Lloyd Austin 2 years ago. So now they've got thousands of people in the four branches of the military that are not joining. So we in this podcast have said, it's a no-brainer. And I had said before, when I go to speak, people ask questions all the time. And I've quoted them verbatim. Grandfather fought in Vietnam. My son's father fought in the first Gulf War. I'm not sending him in the military, Mr. Hansen. You think I should? I said, why aren't you? Well, he has no choice. He has no chance. If he goes in there, he's not going to be promoted. He's a white male. And they're going to look for something he says or did to cite him. And look what they did in Afghanistan. They just left everything there. And there's still Americans over there. So it's a combination of poor leadership, DEI ads, and a sense that white people in the military, okay, fine. And everybody said that. And then when you look at the actual combat, if you're going to go after that demographic, and they are the people who die twice their numbers in the population in combat in Afghanistan and Iraq, then you've got to replace them. So here we look at the demography today of why they're short tens of thousands. African Americans are no different. They still are basically joining the military at their demographic. Latinos have gone up a little bit. Half the number of white males are joining than did just 3 years ago. Half. So basically, two truths emerge. The entire shortfall in the military is due to traditionally eager recruits that are white males saying no mas, no more. And two, there is not a dramatic increase in women, trans, gay, black, Latino to take up the slack and have a new America that looks like us, as they promised. So now what is the military going to do? Well, they have tried for the last year, Jack, saying it's because people are too fat. It's because people take too much drugs. Because people, this generation's video gamed out. They can't do a push-up. It's because, yeah, maybe. But the big elephant is you people alienated the one demographic that you count on to die and to kill. And now you won't admit it. And then the second subtext that came out today, the military, Jack, is very angry. They're very angry because they feel that right-wing people in the media are spreading false narratives. And that's having a bad effect on morale of potential recruits. If they just wouldn't attack DEI, then people would understand there's no reverse discrimination. There's still a meritocratic system, but it's the right-wing media that's discouraging recruits. If that's true, then I just saw an ad the other night. You know what it was? It was a bunch of white guys jumping out of a plane. And there wasn't the pregnant woman in the flight suit. There wasn't the two gay women looking at each other fondly. There wasn't the scene where everybody in it is black. It was, I couldn't believe it. And so they must say one thing to us, that it's not a problem. And then now they're starting to change their publicity and their advertising to get back that group of people, because they're starting to think, hey, the world is heating up. We're fighting the Houthis now. We may be involved in Hezbollah. Iran's a problem. Ukraine's a mess. Where are we going to get somebody who's going to volunteer in the tradition of his father and grandfather and go to some godforsaken place? Helmand Province, Basra, Kirkuk, Gaza, Kiev, I don't know where it is, and then get in a foxhole and get killed. And they're saying, you know what? I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, you got me mad. I have had COVID, and I don't believe that a vaccination is safe for a young, robust 19-year-old, and yet you made me get the vaccinations, and you don't make 8 million people get it across the border, so I'm out of here.
Right.
We've had 8,400 defections. I should say resignations of people who didn't want to get the vaccine, given the unequal application of that statute throughout society. And the reason I kind of hark on it is I'm around a lot of military brass, and they either give you dirty looks, or when they write you nasty notes, or when you see them, they don't like to be criticized. They're the most thin for people who are very brave and they've been in combat and I like them, but they're very thin-skinned, and they get so, this is a taboo kryptonite question. You cannot talk to them about it because they know what they've done. And most of them know that it wasn't right what they've done, but they went along with it because they were either too scared to speak out or they thought they would be promoted. But they know that the military should never judge promotions or battlefield efficacy or examination of performance on the basis of gender or sex or race. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, and the anger must come too from the practicalities of being in the military for as a career. You could be, let's say mid to late 40s and be retired. And the military career is part A of your life, and part B is a private enterprise world where you expect to really cash in. But if you've said the things you've just raised in the military, it's going to affect that pot of gold for you, whether you're a 4-star general or whomever. So
I don't understand we send these people over there. What gets me about the whole thing is, and I've had very heated discussions with military officers, this Pentagon takes race and gender and sexual orientation to the nth degree, Jack. They have data on everything. They know how many colonels are gay. They know how many people in a carrier group are female. That's all they do. But you mentioned, do they do that with who dies and who gets wounded? And they go, oh my God, that's morbid. We don't do that. We would never do that. They do that, but they don't release it. So my point is, how cynical is that to get public like Austin did and Gilliday did and Milley did and say you're going to go after white privilege and white rage and white supremacy publicly, and then privately, hey, man, we got to go down there to southern Arkansas. We got to go up to northern Ohio. We got to go to rural San Joaquin. We got to get some white males because those guys are kind of crazy and they love to go in the military combat unit. That's who we need. And then it doesn't work. You can't do that.
Right.
People are not stupid. They're not saying, you want me to go to Fallujah, but you don't want to promote me? Or you want to suggest that I'm a racist and I'm a beneficiary of privilege? Is that what you want to do? Well, then do it yourself. And that's their attitude.
And we've all seen
it's hurting the country.
People come home in a coffin and the president is there looking at his watch and then using these opportunities to
the media lie, is utterly corrupt. The media for 3 years said in a meeting of 25 people in Normandy that Donald Trump said he didn't want to go see the graves of suckers. Remember that? And somebody who hates Donald Trump viscerally, John Bolton, was in that meeting. And John Bolton, if he had the slightest iota of proof that that was spoken by Trump, he would have gone to the media. He said it was a lie. Right. And yet they promulgated and promulgated that and still do. And then Joe Biden looks at his watch at a solemn moment when fallen hero comes home. Nobody says a word.
And lies about his own son's death in the face of
Combat death in Iraq.
Gold star mothers and fathers.
He does it all the time. It just, I don't know. It's just like listening to Jill Biden the other day. I have children and I understand you want to defend them, but what she said about Hunter, it was just obscene about how he was a victim and how that people are talking cruelly. This guy owes $1.5 million. If you're Jose Hernandez out here and you got a taco stand and you don't pay your income tax, maybe not in California, but somebody's going to go after you. And I've known people who didn't pay $20,000 and they've gone to jail. And so this idea that he deliberately welched out on his income taxes to the degree of 1.5. And it wasn't like he was bankrupt. He was putting things up his nose and he was with hookers at $5,000-$6,000 a shot. And he can't pay his income taxes to the rest of us. Why his father is saying we got to pay our fair share. And there's something so dysfunctional about that family and what they have done the last 3 years. It's all superimposed on the idea that the Trumps are all crude and they're going to seek retribution and we're going to lose. Whoopi Goldberg is a good example, Jack. She's gone completely stark raving mad.
Oh, gosh.
Did you hear what she said the other day?
Yeah. The dictatorship crapola. I have notes here about her.
Yeah, she made a new word, a verb out of a noun, disappear. He's going to disappear gays and women.
Yeah.
What would give her that evidence? She saw him for 4 years. Did he do any of that? I don't know. Did he sick the FBI on school board moms? Did he sick it on Catholic masses? Did SWAT teams go arrest people who were at abortion clinics peacefully protesting? I don't remember any of that. I don't remember them going after former political enemies and having performance art raids like James O'Keefe or, you know, right. Roger Stone or any of that. I don't remember any of that.
Remember, Victor, once upon a time, our nation would look at this. We love to talk about movies. So that Kazan movie, A Face in the Crowd with Andy Griffith, and he was, when he was exposed for lying, as opposed to just being, naturally a lunatic, it destroyed him. And either Whoopi Goldberg's a liar or a lunatic, but she and many others, there's no ramifications today for that.
I read an article not too long ago called Deterrence Makes the World Go Round. And if you think about it, just a little bit of deterrence would solve a lot of problems. Let's apply that a principle. So you're in San Francisco and you park your car and some thug comes up and he takes a baseball bat and he jumps out of his car and he breaks the window. And all of a sudden, he's swarmed by five policemen. They arrest him. They take him in. They have video evidence. They convict him of grand theft and assault, et cetera. And they sentence him to 5 years in prison. And he's in prison for 5 years. And then they do that about for a week. And then what do you think would happen? I think there'd be a big difference. I really do. And so when Donald Trump is, if he were to win and we have the repeat of the Washington riots as we saw last time, I mean, the left thinks they believe in deterrence. They think that nobody in their right mind will ever get to the Capitol anywhere near en masse because of what they did to the January 6th people, the vast majority of whom were just peacefully protesting. But what if you'd done that in May and June and July of 2020, and you took those 14,000 arrested and they're still in jail? I don't think you'd see a protest. And I think if you said that you just decided tomorrow, you woke up and there's 50 cranes and there's 10,000 people building the wall, and then 2 weeks later, they are deporting anybody who came illegally and they're sending buses and planes nonstop to Mexico with their people back, I think people would stop coming. I really do. But not if you destroy. And if you just went over and you told Iran, I think Trump probably did, we're going to consider Hezbollah and all of the Shia militias in Iraq and Syria and the Houthis as taking orders from you. So if you attack, they attack planes, they attack ships, they attack soldiers, they attack any type of asset of ours or of other countries that are not asking for trouble. They're just trying to keep the sea lanes open and the peace calm. We're going to hold you responsible. So for every attack on a ship, we're going to attack one of your ships. For every rocket that is fired at an American base, there's going to be two fired at yours. It would stop. It would stop in a minute. And don't know why people, I guess they don't believe in that. I guess, they think that Iran really likes us. Is that why? Because we've been so tolerant. And there's Blinken and Sullivan, and they all get together and say, wow, they've hit us 130 times now at our bases. We've only replied maybe four or five. We didn't really do much to the Houthis just recently. And, we've been telling Israel, they must appreciate that, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. It's like saying, D-Day was pretty successful, but we got stuck in the hedgerow. It's kind of messy, and it's now disproportionate. So we're just going to tell everybody to build a fortified line at Falaise and don't go any further east into France and into Germany. And once Hitler sees that we have a ceasefire and we just wanted to help a little bit the French, but we don't want to really go into Germany and fight Germans, that he will respond. And we will have a nice little ceasefire settlement to World War II because he'll appreciate our magnanimity. And that's how he works. No, it's not, but that's how the thinking works.
Well, Victor, we have time for one more quick topic to get your thoughts on, and we'll get to that right after this final important message.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor, I lied. I didn't lie. I said we'd talk about Hillsdale, but we're going to record another podcast and we'll get your thoughts about there was a New York Times, I'll call it massive hit piece on Hillsdale College. But why don't we close out, because you mentioned before Chris Matthews, who, remember, he was canned from MSNBC for being kind of creepy. And he was on Morning Joe, the other day, and that's where you mentioned he was talking about the rural cult and the crazies, and we got to stop these crazies. But Victor, you've had experience with mano a mano with Chris Matthews. You want to tell us about that to close out today's episode?
Yeah, he was on television recently, and I don't know why he went after. Why do they go after rural people? He went after, he said, these people are just crazy. You've got to get out. The rural people are Trump and all this. And, you know, all of those epithets that they've used, when Joe Biden called them chumps and dregs, Obama called the rural people of Pennsylvania the clingers. Basically, when Hillary Clinton, when she said she was going to put coal out of business when she went to West Virginia, that she's got the irredeemables and the deplorables. They really don't like rural people. And I think it's because if you're a rural person, which is the minority of Americans, you can't depend on anybody but yourself. You pump your own water out of your own well. You have your own septic you have to be responsible for. You have your own security. You're not near the police or the sheriff. He's 3 hours away sometimes. You're out and you have to provide for yourself. And a lot of times you're commuting a long way. And it creates an independence and self-initiative. And you're very suspicious of people that come in and say, don't worry, the propane will be delivered. Don't worry, we're going to make sure your sewage is okay. Don't worry, because you don't trust those people. And out of that hyper, you know, and there's certain occupations that emphasizes that. Farming, a guy who owns a 7-Eleven. You know, I'm not just talking about rural, but that's independent person. Independent truck drivers, those guys have to be mechanics. They have to be mathematicians. They have to be accountants. And all of these people then expect that the world should treat them the way they treat the world. They follow the rules. They don't break the rules. They're independent. And yet they're always targeted. And that's what Chris Matthews was doing. He can't control them. He just can't control them. he thinks, you know, I am Chris Matthews. Until I got fired for sexually inappropriate behavior, I was a grandee and I was on TV and I'm something. And these people don't defer to people like us.
Didn't he once fall into the food processor of Victor Davis Hanson?
I've known him for a long time, somewhat. And I can't remember. I won't mention the occasion or the event that I was at, but people said that he suggested that I should have a polite debate with him. And let me just say that at this particular place in this particular time, he made some astounding statements that Donald Trump was the only person in history that had denied an election. And I said, you know, it was my turn to respond. And I just said, aside from the fact whether he had grounds to not, you didn't say a word when Stacey Abrams lost by 50,000 votes and toured the country trying to be a vice presidential candidate on the premise that she was the real governor. The real governor. And he interrupted me. So that's just some. I said, no, let me finish. I didn't interrupt you. 2004, Barbara Boxers and 32 House members tried to stop the election that George Bush won by claiming that Ohio's electors really did belong to John Kerry. I'll forget the 2000 Al Gore, who went around the country saying that Bush is a brown shirt and all that stuff after the election. But we do know that in 2016, and I pointed this out, that Jill Stein sued on the initiative, basically, of Hillary supporters and tried to stop the Electoral College voting on the basis that three companies in Ohio had faulty voting machines. And then we had, remember that, Jack? Those were they B-list or C-list or D-list Hollywood? Charlie Sheen and the rest. I don't know what you'd call whoever they were. I never heard of them, but they got on TV every night for two or three weeks. We're beating you. You have the power to save us. I know you're. They were asking for what we call counterfeit electors, falsified electors, false. Faithless is the term, the technical term, a faithless elector who violates his constitutional duty as adjudicated by the Supreme Court, that if you're in a state, you have to reflect the popular vote of your state. And they were trying to get them to sabotage Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and not vote for Trump, even though he won the popular vote. And I went on and I said, and he said, well, you know, these are minor mainstream. I said, no, Hillary Clinton denied that Donald Trump was a legitimate president. And she did that for 3 years. And finally, she said he didn't get the vote in 2016. Jimmy Carter said he was an illegitimate president that was put into power by the Russians. So I went through all that. He just interrupted. He got angry. He didn't want to. And that was these questions. That was the whole debate each time. He would make a statement, and he's very rhetorical. He has a flair about him. And then I would just quietly try to point out that there were inconsistencies in his statements. There was not data to support it. And that I didn't appreciate to be interrupted by him when he was refuted in the way that I had never interrupted him, and he shouldn't interrupt me. And it didn't go well. And I didn't ask to debate him.
Right.
But some people thought that maybe I should. But that's the way the left operates. He was successful for a while because he had this shtick that his brother was a Republican. You remember that, Jack? And I'm an old Irish poor family, Irish Catholic, and I'm salt of the earth. And I worked with Kip O'Neill.
He was a cop for a while on Capitol Hill.
He was a Capitol Hawk. I am just a salt of the earth. And I worked for Tip O'Neill, and he was the old fashioned. And then he thought, I remember after the Iraq War when he got on there and he was just giddy. We're all neocons now. He was just cheering on. And then all of a sudden, Bush was Hitler almost. And then remember, he was the one that said he got a thrill up his leg. Do you remember that when he heard
did.
Barack Obama?
Right.
I mean, David Brooks at least said he only got a thrill when he saw his pants leg crease.
crease.
It was so, and he, I could see that pant crease, and it was rare. And I knew that he would be a very good, he's going to get elected on the basis of that pant crease, and he's going to be a very good president on the basis of that pant crease. And so, you know, all of the left, the thing about Trump is he really is Rodney Dangerfield, right? And is that Meatballs or whatever it was called? The one with the judge and Bill Murray's in it. And at the golf course, Rodney Dangerfield.
Caddyshack,
excuse me. Yeah. Yes, he really is that figure that comes in and disrupts everything. And they just can't, and exposes the, you know, how fake all of their protocols are on the golf course.
Right.
And that's what basically the Democratic Party has been capable of anything, but they have these little protocols that they have little letters after their name, Claudine Gay, president of Harvard, or, you know, Brookings Institute, all this stuff. And everybody takes it very seriously. And Trump comes in and says, what the hell is that? I never heard of that. What the hell is a Brookings Institute? Who cares?
Yeah.
I think he said, I think we had a colleague who was very critical of him, who had a very, I guess, a substantial reputation in Trump school. I never heard of the guy. He doesn't even know how to put his pants on.
Well, it was a little different than that, but he didn't know how to buy pants, which was just like, you know, preposterous, but weirdly funny, like in a way that Don Rickles, you know, would come out and say things that are like, what the fuck? But whatever, it was outer borough humor that connects with people. Yeah. So, hey, Victor, we're running out of time here. We have run out. I want to recommend again to folks that they visit The Blade of Perseus, and please do subscribe. As for me, Jack Fowler, I write Civil Thoughts, a free weekly email newsletter for the Center for Civil Society at AMFIL, where we are trying desperately to strengthen civil society. And Civil Thoughts comes out every Friday and gives you 14 recommended readings. Here's a link. Here's an excerpt. No charge. We're not selling your name, compiling lists. So I think you will like it. And we do thank the people that rate the show on Apple and iTunes. Thanks. No matter what platform you listen on, thank you. But those who do take the time to rate it 0 to 5 stars, Victor has a 4.9 plus rating. So thanks for that. And then there are those who take a little extra time and leave comments. We read them all, even the ones that say, Jack Fowler, shut up. But here's one. It's titled One of a Kind. I'm a German citizen and listen to the VDH show on a regular basis. There is nothing like this here. I wouldn't get these clear insights anywhere else. So thank you, Dr. Hansen, for your clarity, your wisdom, and your unique way of arguing and explaining complex things. And this is signed by Ludwig. And we thank you, Ludwig. We thank everybody else who has left comments here and on the website, Victor's website. Victor, you've been terrific today.
Thank you, Jack, for hosting again. Thank everybody for listening. I deeply appreciate it. Really do.
We'll be back soon with another episode, folks, of the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Bye-bye.